But then, secondly, we're reminded of another place where he says, where Ruth, Naomi tells Ruth to be still, or so sit still, sit still. She says, sit here, because he, Boaz, will not rest until he's seen the matter through. And beloved, we have a Boaz. We have a near kinsman redeemer. We have such a one that loves us. We have such a one that would just tell us, sit still. Just sit here. I've gone up. And I'm not going to rest until I see the matter through. I'm not going to rest till I bring you to myself. He's ever, the Bible says, he ever lives to make intercession for us. And how wonderful that we can just sit still. We can stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, but we can sit still. That speaks of rest. That speaks of not moving. That speaks of not being anxious. That speaks of rest in Him. Sit still. But then there's another one. And the enemy doesn't like this one. In Psalm 46, he says in verse 10, be still. Be still and know that I, God, be still. And I tell you, we're living in a world that the enemy wants to keep us moving. We've got fast everything, right? We got microwaves because we don't want to cook our food. We don't want to cook it on the stove. We got to have fast food. So if we don't put it in a microwave, we go to a restaurant. And we go through the drive-thru because it's supposed to be fast, right? I heard of a place in California. Everything happens in California. But I heard of a place in California where they have drive-through communion. So you don't have to go to church and sit for an hour. You just take your little communion and off you go. I mean, this is the world we live in. We live in this world. And the devil wants to keep us busy, moving. He doesn't want us to just to sit and meditate. He doesn't want us to be still and know that He is God. But how wonderful that He says to us, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Look back at Calvary. Be reminded of what Jesus Christ has done. Sit still. Look up and see that you have a near kinsman redeemer. He's an intercessor. He ever lives to make intercession for you. Rest in that. And then be still and know that God is still under control. He's still in control. To know that. And then here, when we go through the experiences of life, He says again to us, you need to stand still. You need to just wait. Yes, there's a multitude of difficulties coming your way. Yes, you're experiencing a mighty battle. But you need to just know that I'm in control and that I can deliver you. But what do you need to do? What did Jehoshaphat need to do? It's instructive here that it says in verse 17, you will not need to fight this battle. Stop fighting. Yes, we wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. But what do we need to do in the situation and in the circumstances? As Corrie Ten Boom used to say, we need to let go and let God be God. That's what we need to do in those circumstances. We need to lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him. And let Him direct our path. Let Him show Himself to us. So He says, position. Position yourself and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. He says in Isaiah that you may pass through the fire, but it's not going to burn you. You may pass through the deep waters, but they're not going to overcome you. Why? He says, because I am with you. I am with you. Isaiah 53. He says, I am with you. He says in another place that I will never leave nor forsake you. So what an encouragement this is to us. And as we face these battles and the onslaught of the enemy, we can be rest assured that He is with us. He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. And He says, O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Jehovah is with you. This God of relationship who cares about you is with you. How good. How encouraging. But what else do we need to do? We need to rest in Him. We need to have the confidence in Him to step out in faith for Him. But what else does it say to do? And then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. Doesn't this remind us of James? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He shall lift you up. How good. Place of humility. Place of, it's not my strength. I'm bowing before you. But look what such a place brings. He says, he bowed before the Lord and worshiping the Lord. How many times in this section, this thought of Jehovah, this God of relationship. And he mentions verse 19. And then the Levites, the children of the Kohathites, the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. And so they rose early in the morning and went into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear, hear me, O Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established." This speaks of security. You shall be established. "And believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." Notice this. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who would sing to the Lord, and who should praise the beauty of his holiness. And they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, praise Jehovah, for his mercy endures forever." Now we just pause there for a moment. You think about this. This is not what we would say would be good battle tactics, right? I'm sure they don't teach this at West Point. You know, I'm sure that this isn't taught in the military schools. Here's how we win battles, folks. We're just going to praise the Lord. Now, I'm sure that's not what they teach. But this is God's ways, because God's ways are higher than our ways. And how good to be reminded that God says, "You give me the preeminent place, and I will give you the victory for my own glory." He says here, that here's what I want you to do. I'm going to take the Levites, the priestly people, and I'm going to put the Levites out front. And then I'm going to take the singers, and I'm going to put the singers out front. And how good that we've been reminded this morning that we are holy priests before God, and we are royal priests before God. And as Paul and Silas were in that dungeon, in that prison, they faced their battle and they lifted up their voices and they began to praise the Lord. And I'm telling you, when you praise the Lord, you enter a whole nother level, spiritually speaking. Because when you start to praise the Lord, it's not a matter of just saying, "Oh, well, we're just going to forget everything." No, you're trusting the Lord and you're going to have a song in the night. You're going to be able to sing in the night, in those night moments when things are so dark. And the enemy wants to surround you, but you raise your voice to the Lord and you say, "You are the God over all circumstances. And I just want to come and give you praise. I want to lift up my voice to you. And I want to give glory to you. And I thank you for my Savior who's triumphed at Calvary's cross." And you begin to praise. And I tell you what happens, brothers and sisters, what begins to happen when we give the Lord the praise, do His name, what happens is He gives us the victory over and through and in our circumstances. How wonderful.